what am I supposed to do?
Well, the last time you changed to the client, and you did something in order to make that happen.
Yes, okay.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Morning.
Hey.
I've got my desktop version up, but I don't think I can share my video yet.
I'll allow you to, now you can.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Ta-da!
Is that a Hawaii shirt?
No, sir.
Not
It's not
quite.
Hawaii. It's actually a very dashing paisley if you look closely.
It looks rather flash. Like a Baroque painting or something.
Yeah. I was going for reserved but sexy this morning when I dressed.
It's working for me.
Honestly, it was clean and wrinkle-free, and I thought, ah, what the hell?
What did you do in order to make that work now?
I just clicked on the video camera on the Citrix or the GoToWebinar, the first page, and now I can see a video of you two
Yeah.
and
I'll allow screen sharing.
thank you. I'm connected
Can
and
you so you can see both of this, huh?
yes, I click on the camera once more. See what's happening.
I look like a hobo today.
Oh, I'm alive. Oh, can you see me?
Hobo. You look like a man who's under a deadline who's been working his ass off. I don't know about a hobo.
Yes, that's true. That's true, Mr. Hawaiian Man. What was your Lord of the Ring name again? Max?
My lord, I don't know. You threw that Faramir thing out there
Now,
yesterday, and I was
Faramir,
like,
yes. Yeah, you're just like Faramir. That's a Faramir shirt.
What's the deal with that? Faramir.
Oh, we have something going on. We have just had something going on, Ivan. It's not for you to hear about.
Okay.
Ivan.
So I'm
a friendly
none.
competition.
Are you scheming? Are you scheming to take my throne?
No.
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 He
I wouldn't say.
was harassing me. He was harassing me about we were talking about having a little friendly competition like Legolas and Gimli, and to recruit guys and talk to men about the Inner Throne training. And he basically said, ah, maybe this isn't quite up to, you know, maybe that's not your speed. Maybe you're more like Faramir. So and my wife spent 10 years in the Virgin Islands. And when you are getting at someone like that, it's called harassing someone's soul. So he was harassing my soul yesterday.
Oh.
But it's
Gratitude.
good.
Right.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, how about we do just a quick check-in together?
Right.
I can start. I feel a little bit out of it today. I woke up and there was fucking snow outside, and it was a crappy start of my day. Like, we've had spring coming here and now there's snow and I don't like it. And just haven't been sleeping very well over the last couple of days, so there's a lot of intensity in my system. I'm just noticing that there's a lot moving. You can feel things approaching. Yeah, but I'm glad I have a sense of relief as well that I managed to deal with some problems yesterday, and that I think that I'll get the affiliate registration page up and running today.
Good.
So, but nice to get that out of the way. A little bit stressed as well. Oh, so many things I could say. I'm complete.
Oh. I'll go next.
Cool.
I feel more focused than I've felt in probably the last couple months. After the Young Warriors training, I just felt really scattered. There was a lot of bad blood and infighting inside Mankind Project that was really hard for me emotionally. Around Inner Throne work, I feel excited because I had a long conversation with my mentor, Randy Crutcher, last night, and he wants me to send him the links, and he's ready to endorse us and share what we're doing. He was excited about the framework that we're using, and he also told me a couple things that really bent my head that I had forgotten. His wife Karen is originally from Norway, and they spend a lot of time in Oslo, and he's huge with the passion test thing. He and his wife are both master facilitators with Chris and Janet Atkins, and so they're high profile kind of people. And it was just wild to talk to him and realize that they, you know, this world is getting smaller. And so that was really meaningful to me that he heard me out last night and was willing to check things out. And he said, before I even have to look at this, your passion and your commitment to this thing and what Eyvind is bringing to the world matters. People need more portals for transformation, and that's what this is. It's a way for people to transform. So that felt amazing. That was a big boom, and I spent 15 minutes on the phone in a very heated, very deep conversation with a buddy of mine, Matt, who's local, who has been devouring that 24-page report and asking me all kinds of questions, and it was exciting. I was really happy to serve. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, I just mentioned to Carlotto that if we're going to be speaking about leads today, let's try and keep them anonymous.
Oh, okay.
Like it's okay that we mention a first name like that, but no last names as well, please. You know,
sure.
Yeah.
So I'm,
because I imagine that we might put this out on the blog as well, just to keep
it.
People in the loop. I'm already recording.
Okay. So for me, I feel engaged, I'm present, and it just feels really good to be serving. So I'm in with that, guys.
Oh. I'm kind of stressed out too. I haven't slept good tonight, this night, and yes, I had a coaching a few hours ago, and I have connected with this woman, and I'm shaken and stirred, and it's really amazing. And I have this volunteer work for the there's this, it's called Mennecentret. In Denmark, it's a support center for men in divorce, where we have coaching and legally advising and different stuff, and I also have a meeting with them later today. We are going to meet something called Family Resource Center. We will explain what we are doing, and maybe we could collaborate.
Ooh.
And
well,
yes, and a lot of things on my plate right now, so I have to maybe slow down and say no to the things that not on totally on purpose. This really feels on purpose. I tell you, it's really, really. I feel I come alive. I feel I matter, I feel I make a difference. I feel I talked to you, Ivan, about feeling all the way in, being on purpose all the way in. I can feel the bottom of my stomach and my balls and my heart and my future and my past, and I'm all present. It's really, really fucking amazing.
That's cool.
Yes, so it almost brings tears to my eyes when I spoke this. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm connecting to a deeper place.
And like Max said, serving. When I come from the place of serving, service, it's I'm in touch with something really, really big. It's not about me. It's about the world. It's about the future. Ooh. Yes.
Yeah. Feel a lot.
We have a men's group tonight with the divorced men, and we are talking about grief and going deeper in, and maybe release some feelings or moving on, getting to release not just feeling, but to release stories and dreams and broken dreams. So I'm kind of touched by that.
Seems to be a lot going on. Groups, yes. And a new collaboration, coaching.
A woman.
Yeah.
Falling in love.
Oh,
feeling
are
deep. Really? Yes, it's really, I don't know, but I never, I can't feel I've been at this place before with a woman.
You can't, or you can't, you can?
I can't feel, I can't recognize this place where she's taking me.
A man is on his edge. Loose into an abyss of no control, my friend.
Yes, it's
wow.
I'm trying to hold on to some control, but she's really touching me somewhere.
Wow. That's cool.
It's both dangerous and exciting, and I get horny and I get exploding and yes.
You're alive, dude.
Okay, that's what it's called. True Man Auto King, yes.
The lover has arrived.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Good to see you like that, man. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
My inner Faramir is waking up, maybe.
I feel a little confused and out of it every time you mention the Faramir joke. It's like, what are these guys talking about?
You know, it's Gimli and Legolas. We have this challenge,
yeah.
Body count, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And Faramir is more the diplomat and the artist. He doesn't support war for war's sake.
Yeah.
He was more a politician, and Boromir was always the warrior. So I think, you know, I was challenged to look at Faramir's bio and just see, you know, what resonated with me. And I think Faramir is probably more in his lover. Then,
yes.
You know, even though he becomes the, according to Tolkien's story and the way it unfolds, he becomes a prince. He's a crown prince by Aragorn. He becomes the steward of Gondor right before Aragorn takes the throne. And, of course, he marries Eowyn and rules is a ruler in Rohan. But he sort of connects Rohan and Gondor. at the end of the story. So.
Yeah.
Building bridges.
I've been thinking about reading the book again, actually, to just reconnect with that whole mythology and make it more alive inside of me when I teach. Mm. Did I tell you that I will be making a product, archetype product, like a home study thing, based on Lord of the Rings at one point?
You mentioned it.
I definitely want to do that. I think I'm going to enjoy it as well, to really dive deep into it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a fairly lightweight thing. Some, not like a huge commitment, but something that a guy can go through on his own over a week or so and just be inspired.
I think that's really good, because it's a doorway to this more like this training. It's a doorway into the world.
That's true. Hmm. Haven't thought about that.
It could serve as an appetizer, for sure.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it seems to me, Max, that your knowledge of that universe is way deeper than mine. Like, you seem to remember characters and details, and you have a really well mapped out image of Tolkien's lords, it seems like.
I just remember the first time I read it, I was like 11 or 12, and I think I went out the next day and stole some trim, like a piece of wooden trim from my father's basement, and I made it into a sword and found an old bike handle. And because I was so, like, you know, I mean, for me, it was awesome. Like, of course, this makes all the sense in the world. So, that framework really, And the movies, when I watched the extended version, that conversation you and I had, that just completely blew my mind. I didn't really realize that, you know, the main story wasn't just a, exactly, you got it.
There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to keep that with me. I like that.
Chinese straight sword. That's nice.
Yeah, it's a Tashi sword, yeah. So this is going to be a warrior conversation, clearly.
Clearly.
Clearly. yeah. Well, I want to say that I'm really excited about what you said about Randy, Max. Mm. I had a lot of energy moving in my body when he said that. Yeah. I don't know this guy, but it just feels significant.
I kind of felt like I was uncorking a genie last night when we started going into the conversation. I could feel the shift in my body, too, and I was like, whoa, it's like something got set in motion that I may not really fully understand where it's going to end up, but I was just excited to share with him from a real place and have him be so receptive. That really, I was honored, man. I was just like, this is very, very cool. So,
did I understand you correctly that there was something about the energy and enthusiasm that you brought about this work that just sort of automatically convinced him that this is important? That it was more in your energy than you having to convince him through using clever words?
Yes, I was almost deliberately making sure that it wasn't about me being eloquent and articulating, and I came really from a place of, I just want to talk to you about what the impact has been on me, and kind of, you know, I shared with him a little bit of Carl Otto's story and what Carl's up to as far as men's coaching and how it's impacted the both of us, and the trek that you've been on, the journey you've been on, and your vision to bring this to the world. And when I was, and I get caught up in it because it matters to me. It's very important to me. So it wasn't hard for me to share with a lot of enthusiasm and come from a heart space. And he got it. He caught what I was bringing to him, and he could share that same enthusiasm and see the relevance and the importance of it.
That's great. That's really, really, really great. That's another gateway to the next level.
Yeah, it's like it's like a sense of feeling honored for me. Like there's like a resonance someplace deep inside of me. This is cool.
I know. I met Janet Bree Atwood several times in a different occasion and done this passion test several times. And actually, one my highest passion was to deepen my faith in my meditation and my Buddhist practice. And my second biggest passion was to create a tribe of men like us globally. That was my second highest passion, to create a tribe of men willing to do this work.
Yeah.
And be in the front line with this work.
Is it still that way for you?
I'm here. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's fucking happening, man.
Mm-hmm. What I'm asking you, Colorado, is if sounds like in what you're saying that you know your highest passion is meditation practice and like I don't know exactly what that means to you, but it sounds to me that your deepest purpose is communing ever more deeply with truth and the sacred.
Yes.
And then that this becomes an expression of that.
Yes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mine's very similar. My top passion is my integral practice. That includes, the physical, the mental, the spiritual, the emotional. So for me, it's tapping, it's exercise, it's moving through different modalities of meditation and reflection and journaling and all of those things that you were touching on. Then moving out from there, it's a deep awakened intimacy with Dylan, my wife, and then my third thing is the tribe of men. It's my impact in the world. So it's and that if you have that center, because to me that sacred practice that we're talking about is that Axis Mundi, it's the sacred center, and we move out from there and start having that impact. And yeah, man.
Yes.
I think mine is much the same as yours, Colotto. Like at first when you were speaking, I thought to myself, no, what is your second priority is my first priority. But then I realized, no, that's bullshit. My first priority will always remain to being in authentic relationship with my deepest self.
Right. Phew. Wherever that comes from.
Huh?
Yes, wherever that come from.
Yeah.
Or higher power or inner truth or whatever.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm not even attached to this work at the end of the day. I don't think. Oh, I get a little bit of a clenching in my heart when I say that, so it's probably not entirely true.
I didn't believe it.
Fuck off.
I didn't believe it when you said that. What the fuck is that about?
I'd like it to be true.
Why?
If it's true, what does it mean about you?
It just means that I'm not attached to freezing things in space-time because it feels comfortable and functional. Like what I see a lot of people and organizations do is that, you know, they find what works and then maybe the founder or the creator or whatever dies and then they just keep doing what works. You know, it's important to me that whatever it is that we do is always freshly sourced in the mystery of the unknown. That's what I mean.
Okay. Does that mean that you are not in love with your product?
That's a strange question to me. I'm not sure I even understand.
Okay. I was at a speak with one guy called Keith Cunningham.
Yeah,
and he said the worst thing you can be as an entrepreneur is to be in love with your product. Because
right.
then you are blindfolded for the needs for your customers.
Mm.
You just know what to do, what's right, what's true.
Yeah.
And you have this program and this is it and you're in love with it and they have to buy into it. And that's not a conversation with your audience. It's just one way speak.
I don't think that's true for me. But
and then you anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I don't think I'm attached to it in the way that I think Keith Cunningham means. Because I think what he's referring to is that I think that kind of quote-unquote love is really like my sense of self-worth is tied up in the product.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm. I read it that way too.
Yes,
definitely.
That was what he meant. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's completely absent for me. There is definitely a claiming, a deeper claiming of my sovereignty that's happening by getting this work out in the world. I do love that about it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
That feels true to me when you say it.
Feel a little restless.
Mm.
Like fidgety almost. I think there's something that I want to happen.
Is the restlessness tied to the sense of sort of the impending deadline or the impact that you really want to see? Does it tie into something specific?
Yeah, I think it is about impact.
Hmm.
I had a very intense conversation with a very good friend of mine yesterday who's very much on purpose in the world. John Thompson. I'm not going to hide him. I know he's going to be okay with me mentioning it. It was quite intense, a feeling of wanting this work to not just stand on its own in the world, but be part of a bigger movement or like a whole cultural paradigm shift that I really want the Reclaim Your Inner Throne to just be one expression of. I don't want this to be like a new sort of like an insular type of organization where we protect ourselves from competition. And there's something about that, you know, and I was feeling really into that yesterday. Almost like, I don't think he felt that way, but there was almost like a slight competitive edge between us. Like, who can bring the deepest work into the world or something like that.
Mm.
It's very subtle, but I don't like the feeling. I don't like the feeling of competing to be top dog in the world of self-development.
Mm.
Fucking pisses me off, actually. Feel like I want to vomit. And I think I have it in me and I don't like it.
Mm. So the thing that's making you feel nauseous is this idea that there's this part of you that is driven to, that might potentially be driven to compete for recognition and grasping at being recognized as the guy in self-development.
I would absolutely hate for that to happen, yeah. That is, it's so tricky, Max. It's like, I think this is one of the trickiest things that any leader can do, actually, especially when that leader becomes recognized for doing great work. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can I get this into the world in a way that is powerful, while at the same time not buying into the hype?
Yeah. I think that you were touching on it earlier about, you know, where Carl Otto was going with, are you in love with your product or are you listening to the marketplace, and where you were going with stuck forms, where people sort of, they enshrine a way of doing something and they say, well, this is the only way or the best way or the highest way, that the expression of any kind of work in the world. And you're saying, I don't want it to get frozen. I want it to be fluid. But I think the whole conversation has been around keeping that grasping, egoic, you know, self, you know, getting ourselves in the mix to where it's about us and not about the impact.
Yeah.
How you want to weave it into community.
Fuck. I'm like shedding tears. Mm. I fucking hate ego bullshit. It's like hype, and like even selling is difficult for me. When it becomes well, I'm finding that balance these days. I think, you know, how can I find the sweet spot of not selling, but actually being in service, even in that process. But it's like, there's something out there. It feels like it's out there, and I think it's a little bit inside of me, and I just want to fucking burn it to crisp, to ashes. And it's this, every man fighting his own game on on his own island, like grasping for his own community, his own people, trying to build a big business and, you know, fucking want to destroy it.
Do it. To me, it's like you're on the threshold moving away from the threshold of being egocentric and competitive to into a world of more co-creation and renewal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what I see John Thompson and Sean Wilkinson do with Cycling Europe so powerfully, and I love what they're doing. And yesterday he was suggesting that we don't have the same vision, and there was something about that pissed me off.
How do you distinguish your vision from his vision?
I can't. I can't distinguish them.
What's that about?
Like, for me, they're the same vision of empowering people to be themselves fully and realize a way higher state of, like, unity consciousness. Not like a machine, new age merger bullshit crap, you know, but that we come together in a new way. Yeah, it's still impacting me. Mm-hmm. I think I want those guys to be more involved in this work, actually. Mm. Sean is already an expert on the team, but or closer links or something like that. Mm. I don't know. How is this sitting with you guys, what I'm saying?
I love what you say, Ivan. I'm just curious about why you cry.
Because I feel that there's something that I care so much about.
Ah.
It's like at the very center of my being, this is, like, this is it. This is like, it's why I'm here. And if I don't do this, my life is bullshit. And I think yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's good to be able to tune into this with you guys. Feels edgy. Feels even edgier that some people might be watching this.
Well, this is your truth. And I love it. I can feel into it. I also got this competitive. I'm sometimes much better than a lot of other people, and I know better. But I also know that this is my shadow aspects of tyrannic or weakling or sadist or manipulator, and that's where I fuck myself, and that's where I lose myself. So I'm really glad you bring it up, because we have to come from this place you are talking about. Not the old paradigm, but from the new paradigm. And I think when we come from that place in honor for to serve, and that then it's not a competition for me.
Great.
And then I also can celebrate the other guys, what they are doing, instead of feeling into or you feel the competition.
Yeah, this seems to be something that's for me just emerging. I don't even know what exactly is going on right now. I do know I'm feeling some pressure to move into the more concrete details of the conversation. Like the agenda.
Have you talked about this enough where you feel like you said emergent, so this it's probably boiling and cooking and you need to sit with it, but I only wanted to say one thing, which is from your gut, what I have felt from you in this conversation is this is your dharma. It's like the reason, the raison d'etre, you're here for this. This is what you are set on accomplishing, but the way you're delivering it isn't to be establishing yourself as an expert so that you can be seen and heard and sort of have all these appellations and titles and all that bullshit. That's not what you're about. What you're about is building a team where you're collaborating with other like-minded people to establish conscious community. And this is that vehicle for you. This is the framework, and this has been an expression of your own journey. But it feels like it comes from a very deep place. And it's very real to you, and you refuse to compromise it. And that's beautiful, man. That's an honorable thing.
Yes, it is.
And just the fact that you're inviting us in and you're being open about it and that you're exploring it says a hell of a lot about what you are as a man on the inside. It's a character issue. Not just how you show up in the world or how you do this work in front of people. It's what you're about behind the scenes. One of the things I love about you, brother, I got to be honest with you, man.
Thank you, Max.
You're welcome.
To think that it's almost true what you said. I do feel that other thing live in me as well. The part of me that does want to be recognized and does want to build a name for myself. And I'm not entirely pathologizing it, actually. That's what I'm tuning into right now. It's not entirely that's a bad thing, I don't think. There's something in there somewhere that I don't fully trust. So So I'm just going to be on that as a motherfucker, and, you know, you guys will have to help me with that.
Okay. I can hear a conqueror.
What do you mean?
You are trying to conquer something.
Maybe.
Yes, and that, I think, it comes from a good place when it's about sharing this work for the good, for mankind. And that is also the warrior king who is conquering something. It's really a good energy, I think. Mm. And you shouldn't downplay that role in you. Mm. Because it's coming from another, a deeper place, not to rule, but to spread the good news.
Hmm. That sounded like Jesus all of a sudden.
Well, you are kind of Jesus, aren't you?
I don't think so. I am going to centering prayer at the church tonight, though. So that's my claim to Jesusdom.
Well, we are working. We are our sovereignty is guided by our higher purpose, and our higher purpose. Where does that come from? I don't know.
Yeah.
Jesus said something, and Buddha said something, and your heart said something. Maybe it's the same source. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I'm inclined to think it is.
Just breathe into it and accept what is, not running away.
All right.
You had enough?
Sounds like you're ready to move on.
Yeah, I appreciate your support. Really, I do. But it's also a sense that I don't want my own process to overshadow what we're going to make happen for these other men. So I'm very close to finalizing. Can you see my screen?
No.
Just the video for right.
I just started showing the screen.
No.
Maybe you should.
That's so annoying. Yeah. GoTo training isn't performing as well as it used to be.
Didn't you have this issue the last time where you went to share your screen and for whatever reason
didn't work.
We were left with the video panes?
And when I looked at the recording, it wasn't didn't feature video.
Huh.
Is that due to the what's it called? You are having a free trial period?
No,
this is a full-on deal. It should be working.
Yes.
I will. I can reach out to Phil. Did he give you any kind of a support number or anything? Because this is something that we need to clear up ASAP.
Well, this is pretty serious, actually.
Yeah. Totally.
Up in the right corner on my page, there's some words support. 24/7. Support Dein Rund.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm in direct contact with Phil, so we can just speak with him.
Yeah.
I feel some anger that it's not working. Okay, that's just the way it is. So let's just deal with that for now. So I've set up an affiliate page, and it's almost done. I've recorded the video. Actually turned out pretty well, Max. Even though my
really
feed fell out. Yeah, I think it works really well with the sound, and you know, I gave it a little bit of a. Let me just send you the URL, and you can have a look.
Okay.
But don't actually use it. First of all, I don't want you to be affiliates in the traditional sense, and second, it doesn't work. So. So it's just a very basic page. Can you see it in the console?
Yeah, I grabbed it. I grabbed the link. I wanted to see the.
Affiliate registration. Okay. I'm allowed to see this video.
Yeah.
I'll watch it when we're done.
Right.
But well,
Well, feel free to watch it. I mean, you were there when we spoke, but feel free to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that's getting closer. So the whole webinar deal is something that I think I'm going to the plan about inviting the Inner Throne mailing list to do a webinar. I think I'm going to cancel that, but I think I'm going to be doing a go-to training hangout instead. Simply because there are too many little details that I need to sort out in terms of understanding the webinar platform, and I don't have the time. So I think it would be actually very powerful to offer a 90-minute call, much like one that would be on the course as a service to the mailing list.
Hmm. That's awesome. As like a taster, so to speak?
For sure, a taster.
Hmm.
What do you think of that idea?
My first thought was that's heavy duty.
Okay.
And maybe not. If you give it a good intro and explain what's happening and why this is happening, and then we just test it out, and that's how to do it. And then we can question and answer afterwards.
Yeah, a little bit of coaching at the end. You know, we don't need actually to make the beginning part super long, maybe like 40 minutes or something. I don't know, just out of thin air, really. And then the rest of it could just be dialogue with the participants.
Yes.
And it will be capped at 50 participants, and that includes you guys. So, yeah, who knows? It would be fun to have 30 men there.
Have you set a date for this webinar?
I'm thinking Thursday evening that I'm going to send out an invitation this afternoon.
Okay, in 2 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it too short?
I don't know. No, sometimes it's good with a short time limit, and sometimes it's good with a long one. Then you have to remember, reminder. If it's good enough.
Yeah, we could do one on Sunday, for instance, and then at the end of that we could
say Sunday,
yeah. And then that will be the day before the webinar, so if they want more information, they could just jump on the webinar the next day if they like. I don't know. What do you think? Thursday, Sunday.
I can't follow you. Thursday, you mean Torsdag, right?
Yeah. 2 days from now.
Yes. And you say Sunday.
Yeah, that's my other option for that same offer to the mailing list.
Okay, another option. Okay.
I'm just trying to feel into those dates and feel which one has a better vibe, I guess.
For me, I can't tell.
I don't get a definitive read either way. Like Thursday or Sunday, I don't feel one over the other that feels really strong.
No, me neither.
Maybe I think Sunday is 75% okay. Mm. And Thursday is a weekday in the evening. Maybe there's a time issue. Sunday is more day off, free space, more available. Just
could be. I also think that there's a sense that the Sunday evening is just quiet time with the family and preparing for the week that's coming up. Just sinking in.
Mm. Yes, it could be a disturbance.
It's like there is a sense, I think, for some people that this attending something like this is more like a day-to-day activity. It's not a relaxation. It's not R&R. You know, it's something they mm-hmm. do in order to grow. It's a bit like work, I suppose.
So for the person who's kind of trying to just chill out, it could seem disruptive or maybe too much.
That's what I'm guessing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and if they are family guys, but if they are single guys and lonely, it would be perfect on Sundays.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have yeah. to be too.
Well, let's start with Thursday, and then maybe Sunday if there's a lot of
yes
need for it.
And they can maybe hear it again, and you can record it maybe.
To do an encore, and I think that's probably best is throw it out there and see where the response level is, and try to get as many guys as we can on Thursday, and then if there's a spillover or other people express interest, then maybe Sunday as an encore. Or
yeah.
release the recording on Sunday. I don't know. It would. The only thing that you wouldn't have is it would be asynchronous. There wouldn't be Q&A if we
no.
did the recording and then re-released it.
No.
But they could still get a flavor for it.
Hmm. Is it possible to post questions for this webinar?
Yeah.
Up front?
I'll make that possible.
Mm. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That feels that gives it a real dynamic feel.
I want to emphasize that this is not the webinar. It's more of like an inner circle hangout.
Mm.
Right.
Like the webinar, the proper webinars, they start on Monday. That's the plan anyway, but I think that might be tight actually, and that huh. Well, we will be starting a week later, so I think people need a week. It's getting real close.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, let's just do the Thursday first, and then let me sit with the other things and see.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of my energy or the way that I work these days is to just I work and then I monitor my level of overwhelm, you know, because there are so many things to do. And it's like I can't start thinking about webinars when I still am nowhere near finishing affiliate systems and payment plans and
okay.
that kind of
first
thing.
First things first, right.
Right. And you need to give your focus and attention to the thing that's right in front of you. I hear you, Robin.
And there are plenty of the men that I'm going to be meeting or talking to. Like loads. Let's, yeah. There's a lot to do.
I got about 7 minutes and I have to go. And I have two questions.
Good. Yeah. Shoot.
I got a colleague, a man coach in Denmark. He's called David. He was just asking me about the 30 minutes coaching, if there was any free spots left or something. Or what is it all about? I told him it was just a coaching about the archetypes, and it was also maybe a question answer about the inner throne.
Is this a man that you know that wants to do free coaching with me? Is that what it means?
Well, he is a coach. He's a men's coach and a therapist. And he's curious. I talked a lot about the Inner Throne, and I talked a lot about you and Max and what we are doing. And he's knocking on the door. That's my feeling of it.
Yeah, I'd like to open the door for him.
Yes, so I can make him connect with you.
Yeah, make him connect with me. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other question was about the one I was supposed to call or Skype tomorrow, Johan.
Yeah.
You mentioned we could talk about briefly about pricing, or was it?
Yeah, well, it's I think it's a classic situation of a man really wanting to do it, but not having the he's not there, and I don't want to be showing it for any kind of recording. He feels short on money. He really wants to do it, and then he wants to invest what's inside of his comfort zone.
Right.
And that's way outside of my comfort zone, because I'd be giving away like the crown jewels for peanuts, you know?
Right.
That's a very good metaphor.
I think it's a classic case here of people not having the ability to understand the extent of what they're about to receive.
Right.
So I've responded to him that say I really like you on here, and I think that you're in a good place, you know, to step outside of your comfort zone and just commit to investing in yourself. So
yes.
So I leave that to you to follow up on that. I think it's just a very powerful way, because I'm, you know, the guy who.
It's right up at what we were talking about yesterday, shortly on Skype, about what's it going to cost. Is it the money, or is it something you have to leave behind in your life, right?
Yeah, I actually asked him, do you really want what this course offers? Really check in with yourself on that.
Maybe you don't know what it's offering.
Probably not. We had a one-hour talk, but probably not.
Okay. Well, that's a nice way. I can talk to him and check out where he's at and where he's going and.
I'll send him. Yeah, great. And I'll send him a payment page that I'll customize for him and just let him use that.
Yes. I can't argue with the price with him. That's his problem with his bank or something.
Yeah.
I can only share my benefits and my go my whatever.
Yeah.
I talked to him.
Okay. Yes. Cool.
Right.
So anything else? Let's see. You're free to just jump off the call whenever, Paulo.
Thank you.
The mailing list numbers haven't grown much. But I've actually disabled the marketing, because I was working on the landing pages and stuff. So I'm now in the process of, I mean, it's late in the game really, but I find it quite amusing to be trying out these things. So I have this new landing page for the a report. You watched the video yesterday, Max.
Yeah.
So it's not a picture of a book and some bullets now. It's just a video and the testimonials. I'm going to split test. If we can figure out how to do that with Google. I think I know how.
The video is really, really good.
So it's not too slow at the start?
No. You have the gift of being concise. I don't think that you are slow. I think that for somebody who's never really had a context for this, you're giving them a context, a way to kind of place themselves and understand why it matters to them. I thought it was very good, honestly.
Cool. So in terms of following up with Randy, what did we do there?
I'm going to send him the links today to everything. I downloaded a copy of the report yesterday because Matt was asking me really specific questions. We went deep into the difference between the divine child and the Hercules complex, and we've talked about initiation. And
nice one.
We talked about, you know, he's saying, you know, every time he kind of goes out on a bender, he thinks about taking his life. And I was explaining to him there's part of him that's calling him to a dying. So we went down that track of the idea of, you know, sloughing off the old life and dying to the things that aren't working and embracing the process of initiation. So
that's
it was
powerful.
A really very, very good conversation.
That's powerful. Yeah, I'm really, really happy with the new insight into these four archetypes and how they relate to these three pillars that we've been talking about.
Mm.
Purpose, power, and connection, intimacy, women, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've been quite involved with the Authentic Man program, and they have the Holder Key, which is presence, appreciation, integrity, wholeness, and play. And like those three first ones, they correspond to archetypes, and they've made a lot of sense to me, and they still do. And I mean, there are multiple valid perspectives to the human being, I think. But what I realized there is, it's the magician is lacking from that perspective that they have, and it's like the archetype of initiation, which is essentially it's magician territory. It's actually precedes all of it. It's like you can meditate or do martial arts all you like, but if you're deeply traumatized and addicted, then that true warrior power is just never going to arrive. You know, so it's starting to really realize how important this underworld journey, rite of passage thing is in terms of any kind of growth that sticks.
Yeah. I have two things. I'll be brief, but just I think that they're important. One, fuck it, I'm not going to apologize. I know this is important and it matters, so I'm going to put it out there.
Good.
The one thing is, you can end up in spiritual bypassing by putting a veneer of spiritual practice that doesn't go deep enough on top of what you're dealing with, because the initiation breaks you open. And we've talked about that a lot. So if someone says, I'm going to avoid this whole dying thing and I'm just going to go study Aikido or Jiu-Jitsu or I'm going to meditate, not that there isn't benefit, but it will get to a point where they could be using that as a cover up for the deeper trauma and addictions that have been unaddressed.
Yeah.
And Wilbur talks extensively about, you better be a really good friend of Freud before you become a friend of Buddha, because nothing in the Eastern system addresses shadow. It's not designed for that. It doesn't offer that. And the other thing too is, one of my mentors, who's a Mankind brother, who's been through transformational coaching training and is a certified coach, brought this to me. We were going through some stuff together, and he said, and I didn't put the pieces together, Ivan, until you explained the arc between the king and each of the other archetypes. But if you think about the sovereign energy as it touches the lover around generativity, the warrior around structure, and the magician around blessing, because you have to actually see something. And where we were going, Andrew and I, was the sovereign says to the warrior, you are going to hold the boundaries of the container. To the magician, you will be the eyes and the ears. And to the lover, whatever comes up, no matter how ugly, how broken, or how that feels or seems, you will stay open and love whatever arises. So within that container of work that the sovereign sets this in motion, there is that ability to see, to allow those parts of us that have been pushed into the shadow to come back into the light and be integrated. And inner throne work creates that exact kind of an environment with the archetypes where they're not, it's it isn't fractured and fragmented. It's an incorporation of all of them and bringing them back to touch the sovereign. That's my experience.
Amen.
Nice. I like that one.
Thank you.
I get a lot of energy moving in my body when you were speaking.
Right.
Huh. I love it when you start speaking more. Yeah, I do have feedback for you.
Mm.
You want it?
Yes, please.
I'm hearing more and more you lately when you speak. There's a sense that I have sometimes that you're just repeating or parroting or just validating or... And lately there's been like much, much stronger the sense that you're more in like, yeah, fuck it, I just have things to bring that are uniquely coming, arising out of my own perspective. And it's really making me trust you more.
Thank you for that.
Okay. What's that like to hear?
It's very affirming that I can trust my perspective and recognize that I've been feeding and listening and digesting and sitting with things, but that as I start to distill some of this back out, there is a uniqueness to what I'm bringing. There is something that I offer, and I don't have to parrot what someone else says. I can actually come from my own gnosis, my own understanding, my own perspective. And it's valid and it's important.
Yeah. So in that moment, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much were you parroting in that reply just now?
In the reply I just gave you?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's hard for me to let it in. It's hard for me to receive. And I think what I do is I keep it on the surface and I say thank you in a polite way, but to be honest with you, it's very life-giving for me to hear that from you. And that's where my heart is. It's very meaningful to sit with you men, and it's very meaningful to contribute and to be respected for my contributions.
Yeah. Now I feel you. That's a huge difference.
I have to leave you guys with this one, and I will surf all night long. Thank you. Power.
Bye. Yeah, power. Shall we stay on for one more minute, Max?
Yeah, let's. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have anything else to say. I just wanted to have the opportunity. It seemed a little abrupt.
Yeah.
Is it your experience that you have been sort of repeating and parroting?
My experience is that it's good to let the Boy Scout that my mother tried to raise die so that the man can live and have a voice. And I've spent my whole life saying what's expected of me and doing what's expected of me instead of living from a sovereign place and giving myself permission to a greater and greater degree in just everyday things. To show up and be enough, whatever comes from within me, however I show up, whatever I say, to be secure in myself and be enough, feels like freedom and really being alive instead of being scripted.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. A lot of joy around that, man. So interesting.
Yeah, I don't like it that much when I have that sense that you're playing out a script.
Yeah. No, and it's safe for me. It's safe, it's low risk, and it comes back to I got really, really good about living in my head and, you know, weighing out the risks and knowing the right thing to say at the right time. I may have missed my calling as a politician, but that's okay. I don't think I would be very good at being a lying dirtbag anyway. Just saying, my conscience would eat me alive. I had this conversation with Andrew last week, and we talk every week, and he said, the moment that you realize that sovereignty arises from within, you can stop showing up and acting like, let me put my hat on, now I'm the coach. Let me put this coat on, now I'm the doctor. It's different. It's our very presence and our essence is what we're bringing, and that isn't something that's manufactured. And I think learning to live less manufactured and more alive to what's arising within me, that fresh squeeze from the mystery piece that you've been talking about this past week, that's where real life comes from. And it can be unglamorous, unpredictable. It has a beauty and a life of its own. You know what I mean? Instead of me looking outside of myself and saying, let me show up with looking the part because I want people to see me a certain way. I wrote this down yesterday because it hit me so hard. And it was the give me the courage to show up and let myself be seen. And it's called the vulnerability prayer. And I thought, I need to work that into my routine. That needs to be something I keep in front of me, you know? So.
Feel some intensity in my belly region right now. Like a slight churning. A little like being sick. You feeling any of that yourself?
The thing I'm struck by is that in my relationship with my wife and in my relationship with other people that are close to me, like you and Carl and Andrew, that the trust is built on the more willing I am to be myself and be vulnerable. And what scares you about being competitive, my biggest fear is I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to constantly try to be something that I'm not for the sake of pleasing others and saying what they want to hear. And I don't think that even until this conversation, I realized how deep that can run sometimes for me. You know what I mean? We talked about that level of openness before and how important that is. And I think for me, the thing that scares the shit out of me, the place I don't want to go, the man I don't want to be, is that very smooth talking, very eloquent, but very fake-ass person. The one that won't rock the boat, the one that won't instigate, the one that won't speak the truth. That I don't want to live that way.
No, that sounds yucky.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Plastic.
You gotta relocate to some plastic nation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're not going to do that anymore.
No. surrounding myself with men that are willing to call me out and are willing to see through and ask me to step past all that shit. Ooh.
Okay. I think it's time to end.
All right, sir. Thank you, my friend. I will follow up with Randy and get him those links today via email so he can check everything out. And I'm going to give him a call. I know he said he's got some stuff going on, but he seems to be on board, and I will follow that up, not expecting him to do it on his own, but making sure that he and I are talking, like, you know, Sunday, Monday, like, hey, man, you know, just checking back. Want to make sure you understand, because until the affiliate page is done, I can't send him a link to that anyway,
yeah.
But I can send him.
I think it'll be done today.
Okay.
That's my wish. Anyway, before you go, I just want to give it one more try. Okay, audience view, waiting for next screen. Show my screen. I just desire. Can you see anything on my screen now? From my computer?
No, the first time we ran it, you had the list up there, like the planning list was up, and I could see it, and the panes, we could move them down, we could move them up, and I'm just not sure why that isn't happening, if it's a setting or if it's just something that is not quite working as planned. I don't know.
So weird. Yeah, so
I would absolutely ping Phil and just say, hey, you know.
Can you see the window where it just says Inner Throne team meeting? Organized at Eivind Kjellum and so on and so forth?
No, what I see, what happens is I switched to the desktop version because obviously the web version we can't share our video. So I always switch when it says if you want to share your video camera. And once I do that, it lands me here, but I don't see, even when I go full screen, I just see the video pane for you and I, but nothing else is visible to me, but I don't know why that is. It worked. The first time that you and Carl Otto and I did this, it worked A-okay, and now it just seems like the last two times it's been an issue with you being able to share your screen and us being able to see it. And I don't know what that's about.
No, me neither. Webcam? No. That's weird. Attendees can view materials. Attendees can share webcams. Let's see. In chat.
Sure.
Because you're really supposed to see like two windows on your end. One is for videos, and one is for the slides and that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, I'll just have to contact Phil, and we'll take it from there.
All right, bro.
Okay, have a good one.
You too, man. If you need anything, give me a shout.
Will do.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you.